Jeff, we've got the school board elections coming up in the spring. Carl Paladino is mad as hell once again.
It seems like Carl ought to hang a shingle outside of the Ellicott Square building that says, "No job too big or too small." Governor of New York State, check.
Check. Well, he is threatening to take over not just the one position on the school board for himself, but he's threatening to basically garner enough support with people that he seems to like to take over a number of seats on the school board. How big a threat is this?
Well, of course it's a big threat because it's a rather small election, and it's not the first time Carl has thrown his weight behind candidates for school board. And other big guns have as well, especially in recent years. These races have attracted a fair amount of money. Just recently, the Buffalo-Niagara Partnership directed tens of thousands of dollars, lots of money and lots of energy behind its favored candidates. That can make a big difference in these races because they happen in the spring and because the school board, I think, often acts almost invisibly. Very few people vote in these elections. I think in the last time there was a district board member race was in 2010. About 7,100 people cast votes out of almost 140,000 eligible voters in the city of Buffalo. That's about 5%, and that's typical.
I hear people ask, how influential really is the school board? You have the superintendent, you have the State Commission on Education, you have all of these overseeing bodies, the BTF, that have tremendous influence in what happens in the schools. How influential really is the Buffalo School Board?
Well, there's no question that their ability to change the way the schools are run they're shackled somewhat by state and federal mandates, by union contracts, by budgetary issues, and by sort of deep-seated systemic, let's call it what it is, class issues. You know, it's a real problem for inner-city school districts to overcome the challenges faced by the students they serve. And it doesn't all happen in school. It happens at home as well. It has to do with money and race, all kinds of issues. But, you know, the fact is they do set policy, and they hire and fire superintendents, and they help settle curriculum. It's a very important position, and it's one that I think we underplay too often. You know, we currently have these elections in May because, you know, it was decided long ago that these elections ought not to be sullied by the often hysterical and factional politics of the city of Buffalo in a regular election in the fall. But there have been movements afoot to move them back into the fall with the regular elections, if only to get more people to participate in them.
Carl Paladino, obviously very, very vocal and somewhat influential in Western New York. What changes could he really bring to the school board, do you think?
I think that what Carl would bring is his the volume of his voice. You know, he's not going to be any more capable of changing policy by himself than any other individual school board member. However, you know, his loud voice will draw attention to at least those issues that he thinks are important. There are issues that he probably ignores as well.
Do you think that the school board members are really fretting his getting involved?
That's a good question. I think some probably are because they know that there's no way he'll do anything but target them. They're not going to make themselves understood to him. Others probably think, well, this is an opportunity for someone to pay for my signs.
Turning to hydrofracking in New York State, the DEC is facing a potential lawsuit based on some potential inaccuracies or some lack of information and public sharing of that information in their recent study. Where does that stand?
Yeah, there's a group based in Ithaca called the Community Environmental Defense Council. It's basically a husband and wife team who have been doing some pretty energetic work on the environmental activism side around fracking. And they have outlined the basis of a lawsuit against the DEC, basically arguing that the DEC failed to follow its own rules and state law in putting together its study and its proposed sort of regulatory scheme for fracking. And you know, that lawsuit will be filed, and it will be certainly the first among many.
And what will this do? Will it just delay the progress of hydrofracking, or will it simply put more information in front of the public about the issue?
If they're successful in the lawsuit, it will do both. It would force the DEC to go back and address those shortcomings in its study, which is going to take time. And it would certainly also require, a lot of what the lawsuit alleges is that the DEC has failed to gather and publish sufficient information. They've not told the public as much as the public ought to know. But, it's interesting. It seems that the issue of fracking in New York State in recent months, in the last 6 or 8 months, has hit delay after delay after delay. Everyone just sort of sat on the issue for a while because there were big elections going on statewide, and nobody wanted to run on or against fracking. Especially with the governor's position, it's sort of widely understood that he is in favor of fracking, that he wants the revenue that the industry promises the state will realize. But no one wanted to run on that issue at all, so it just stayed quiet through most of last year. In the State of the State speech and in his most recent budget, the governor himself doesn't mention fracking at all.
It still seems like a toxic topic, I should say.
Yeah, I think it's becoming politically less stable for him, and so he seems to be shying away from it. And a recent poll done by Siena Institute suggests that it is a little more toxic, as you put it. For the first time, more New Yorkers in this survey expressed opposition to fracking than were in favor of it.
The preservation status in Buffalo as far as buildings and structures, the Bethlehem Administration Building, many lamenting the fact that that is now being razed, it's being torn down. But you mentioned that there have been some changes, in a sense, with the preservation movement.
Yeah, there's a really interesting new website that just debuted. It's called preservationready.org, and it's this terrific catalog put together by a number of preservationists in Western New York, identifying buildings at risk, buildings that they feel are on the path to the wrecking ball, whether that's an imminent danger or the sort of longer-term danger that we all recognize begins with abandonment and neglect. And it's a terrific catalog, not only because this is a wonderful tool, but, they talk a lot about the history of the building, why it's significant. They look at its condition, its ownership, possible reuses. It's really well put together, and I think it goes a long way toward answering of sort of frequent criticism, whether just or not, of the preservation movement, which is those who are frustrated by preservationists say, you always show up at the late last minute, just when, a deal is about to go down and the bulldozers are coming out, then you throw the flags and say, no, this is important. Where were you 6 months ago, 2 years ago? Well, this site, I think, is actually an opportunity for them to say, we were here all along. We've been saying that this building needs saving for a long time now.
What kind of leverage will this site give them? Are there sponsorships on the site? Are there support networks that are queuing into this site?
I think it will become a tool for preservation-minded groups around the region. I think it will also generate interest in the value of historic preservation because it's, frankly, it's interesting reading. It's interesting to find out about these buildings, and there are quite a few of them that they've already studied, and why they're important and why they're not. We look at these sort of hulks of brick industrial buildings on the east side and sort of looming over sort of toothless residential neighborhoods, and we wonder, what was there? And, this site helps you find out. So preservationready.org.
Sounds like a great tool.
Yeah, people ought to check it out.
Great conversation again, Jeff. Thanks so much.
It's my pleasure as always.